welcome back to Doom Radio, also known as Tango TV. And today on Program B, alongside co-host Tarnsman, we have a regular guest, Bavera. How you doing, sir?
Bavera.
Bavera, also known as the Beard. The very friendly Beard. Discussing today longevity in Doom, which isn't actually a topic I put up in the forums, which some people would correctly put down to my incompetence as a project manager. But leaving that aside, yes, so longevity in Doom, a very interesting discussion. I think a lot of potential there, very clear cut. So I think we'll discuss here sort of like why has it been so successful to date, and can we predict the future? Can we project, look forward, and say that this is where Doom will be in 5 years' time? Will things have changed? It's 20 years old as we stand, so I think that's a interesting question to pose. Where to begin?
5 years' time, it will be dead.
I'm
just kidding. Sarcasm? It's sarcasm. I wanted to start off with some
hard hitting,
some pessimism, so that we could just go up from there.
That's right. We can end on a high note. Anyway, So again, two halves to this discussion, I think, and we'll start with the logical beginning. Why has Doom been so successful to date? Any ideas, gentlemen? Tarnsman, perhaps.
I think. As we've stated multiple times on this program, Doom's continued success is due to a very specific, like, type of gameplay that I think Doom succeeds at the best out of all of its peers. And that's why we talk about, like, longevity and success of Doom. We're talking about a small community. I mean, this isn't like the Beatles in terms of long-term success.
Right.
But the people who come to Doom have a very specific that I think Doom appeals to more broadly than Duke Nukem 3D or Quake or any of the older first-person shooters that still do have active communities, but not to the size and robust output of Doom.
Right. I mean, I think we have to discern really what we mean by success when we're discussing the longevity. Because, I mean, I like to liken the Doom community to sort of a team of astronauts out in space in a little capsule with, like, 20-year supply of food, and they're just surviving, just getting by. You know, they're reasonably successful within their own capsule. They hold parties every now and then. They occasionally make calls back to the folks on Earth, but, you know, they're not a big success on Earth at the moment. It's all happening in that capsule. It's all rocking. It's all happening. But outside...
Maybe eventually that capsule will come back into the stratosphere.
Or land safely.
Yeah. Well, these are all metaphors. Gotta say... I think, I mean, you know, let's just go here now. I think that a lot of Doom's continued success as a community-based, as a robust community-based game is due to the ease of which content can be generated for it. I mean, easy to learn, perhaps difficult to master, depending on your taste in good level design. But when you think about its contemporaries, and this is extending with, you know, years, several years before and after, you've got, you know, the Build Engine series of games. You have the Quake Engine. And then beforehand, you've got Wolfenstein 3D. Wolfenstein 3D, making levels for that, it's not really all that exciting, because there's not really much you can do for it. It's always going to be flat, planar, 2D. No matter what, yeah, you can make new resources, you can make new graphics, but there's never going to be any sort of, like, really interesting layout design or anything that you haven't already seen before with, you know, without it being 1992 and new and interesting. But, you know, and talk about the Build Engine. The Build Engine, I mean, as simple as it may have been at the time, it's still really not all that intuitive to make levels for it unless you really want to mess around with that, you know, the build editor. It's really, really quite hard. I've tried it. It's just a pain. And Doom Builder is just so much easier to mess with. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into Quake, and Quake 3D mapping, you know, going from 2.5D mapping where you're drawing sectors and raising their heights and lowering their floors and assigning tags and line depth actions, it's all very simple. It's all very easy to do very quickly, putting little things in the rooms and setting up encounters. And then you transition into 3D level editing, and it's like a whole new ball game, right? You have a new dimension. Now you're suddenly doing brushwork. And scripting, and I think there's script, I don't know. I actually have never done it before. And it's just, it's not as quick and painless to create content for. Sure.
You know,
well, I actually have done, like, I screwed around with the Quake editor because somebody, Marnetmar, I believe it was, has been screwing around with Quake levels recently, and I actually took a look at it, and Quake level design is actually extremely easy.
Well, it is now. I mean, with the advent of the Trench Broom editor, yeah. Which is very, very new.
But at the same time, I also think that, like, one of the reasons why Doom has survived longer than Quake in terms of having a still active community that is still pumping out content on an extremely fast basis.
Oh, yes.
Quake doesn't have the same set of appeal as Doom. There's things in Quake that I feel it does a lot better than Doom, but there are so many things that Doom does, thanks to its simplicity, so much better than Quake. Visually, you have a much simpler and more diversified palette. Quake's got a lot of subdued browns and stuff that you got to deal with. That makes you know, anybody can jump into Doom and just be like, well, this is what I want my thing to visually be, and they don't have to go edit the palette or do any extensive stuff like that, which is not so much the ease of level design, but the just, you know, base resources being so diverse that people are more willing to, you know, start doing whatever they want on an entry level because they have so much to play with.
Right.
Yeah, I also think that just visually, Quake has aged a lot worse than Doom.
Oh, absolutely.
Doom in all its pixelated glory just still looks great to me, you know?
Yeah,
particularly when it's all pixelated. And I'm still torn, even after all these years, on deciding whether or not I like, prefer the look of OpenGL, for example, walking through sort of earlier map sets where there isn't a lot of visual detail going on. It's all sort of textures used to detail things, as opposed to the pixelated look, which honestly, in those sort of older megawatts and the like, makes everything look far more appealing to me. So I balance between the two, really. If there's a vanilla map set, unless I'm streaming or something, then I'll typically play it out in chocolate. It just looks look much better. And I understand you can do it with Eternity, but I have been looking for a sort of a middle ground between achieving that pixelated look and getting the sort of more advanced features that I can use for, you know, more up-to-date map sets.
I also think that brings up another good point, is that there are many, many ways to play Doom.
Yeah.
You have a lot of options. You have Z Doom, you have PR Boom, you have Chocolate Doom, you have GZ Doom, you have Zandronum if you want to play multiplayer, and it's easy to set up. Got Odamex. And all Vavoom.
You have
your Doomsday offshoots, you've got your Risen 3D, all that stuff. There are many, many different ways to customize and play Doom in a way that suits you and the way you want to see it, and they're all very easy to set up. Doom is really easy to acquire. You can buy it on Steam, $10, you got all of them.
But it's even more than just like having the ability to use source ports. It's that the inherent gameplay of Doom just suits whatever you want to do. Like,
absolutely.
If you play Quake in a very slow and campy way, Quake's a lot more boring to play that way than Doom is to play that way. Like, a lot of the other old first-person shooters are really fun, but they're only fun if you play them one way. Whereas Doom, you have people who will, you know, what's-his-face, Sweet Pea, will just chain-gun snipe every single thing he possibly can. and that's just how he plays, and that's what he enjoys doing. Mm-hmm. And Doom gives him the ability to do that.
Exactly, and if he wanted to, he could make a map set that caters to that specific kind of gameplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although you could play it differently. I've actually used this word quite a lot, pertaining to what Tasman just said, in past episodes of Tango TV. Elemental. I've used that word with regards to, as a starting base, Doom's gameplay and your ability to map with it. Because if you really,
like,
if you really
Earth, think Wind, about, and Fire?
Just like that. Earth, Wind, Fire, and Doom.
The fourth element.
Because when I get into discussions about mapping and the process behind it, I really like to think of mapping for Doom as just being given the ability to do anything, but on an elemental basis, by which I mean you have lines. You can organize those lines in a certain way. The gameplay is such that, as Tansman says, you can turn it out in any direction. It's like starting with a base chemical element and then just adding it and making anything you like. So, I guess it's another way of just repeating what Tansman said, the sort of diversity of it, but also extends to the mapping process. I'm really thinking
about what you're saying is that when you sit down to make a map, you just start hitting the keys.
For anyone who gets
them in the right order,
I do have a pack of triple chocolate chip cookies here by my side, and I will mail them out to you.
That's the key.
That's a first little reach out to the community there from Tango TV. I think that's kind of cool.
Ferrero Rocher, our perhaps Godiva,
chocolate fountains, maybe.
Truffles. So where were we before I tangent?
Before you rudely interrupted and just killed the flow discussion. No, and that's definitely why we had a discussion about different terms used in Doom. I think that type of discussion or that type of freedom in terms of like what each level is, and the ability to make really gimmicky levels that don't feel like concept demos, like in Duke Nukem 3D. Whenever I think of gimmicky levels in Duke Nukem 3D, I think of, like, the majority of the secret levels, which, while they were about as extensive as Sandy Peterson's secret levels in Doom 1, they felt far more, like, tech demo-y. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I agree with that. Like, Spin Cycle is, like, it's just there's something about it where, like, if that concept was pulled off in Doom, it would be like, oh, this is, you know, this is neat and like, abstract and cool because Doom is inherently abstract, whereas Duke Nukem is like as it is. It's already based around like realistic looking environments and stuff like that. And
Lunatic
Fringe.
So that's okay.
Lunatic Fringe. Uh huh. Yeah, that's the one.
That's right.
Yeah, and that when it's done like in that type of environment, it just feels like more of a tech demo. Whereas Doom inherently is just something where it's like, oh, there's a map like Tricks and Traps, or, you know, this map is Vile themed or whatever, and it's just like, all right, that's gimmicky, whatever.
And it works. Although, incidentally, now that we're talking about this, the sort of the Doom 2, specifically the Doom 2 sort of gameplay style, isn't something that we see replicated very often in the community. And that makes me think, actually thinking back, the reason we actually started doing Tango TV in the first place, other than Tango's courage and masterfulness and willingness to commit, was because Doom has now developed enough of a history that we're able to discuss, like, in terms of different eras and how things have evolved and how things have changed and how they will continue to do so. It's like Pavera said before we started this discussion, you know, it's almost like this episode is almost like a sequel to the first Program B. The fact that sort of Doom 2 style isn't really replicated. You do get gimmicks and maps, but there are trends now in the community that have come, that have gone, that continue to, and that diversity that Tansman and I identified just earlier, is the reason why trends are able to evolve and then disappear, and then come and go again. You know what I mean?
So 100 lines.
100 lines is a pretty good example. Like, that's a trend that we can, because of the diversity in Doom, we can afford to just envision and then discard and then continue and then come up with new ideas because the community has confidence in its ability to move on and just sort of and reshape itself all the time. So, yes.
And it's more that I think Doom really benefited from being the first of its, like, kind of FPSs. Like, I'm not saying that if Doom came after, I don't know, whatever, Duke Nukem 3D, people complain that it's not as technologically advanced, but if Doom, like, had competition right when it came out for games that were just as technologically advanced, I still think that Doom would be the game that people keep coming back to, just because Doom is easy to use, easy to set up, diverse, and really forgiving in that. If you make a bad Doom level, and this is going to kind of feel weird coming from me, the person who's going to bitch about bad Doom levels all the time, but the worst Doom level, unless it's just ungodly bad and, like, one room with one monster in it. Like, I'm talking, like, just a level that's complete, finishable, something that you just discard as mediocre and uninteresting. Even the most bland, boring Doom level is still more interesting to play than a lot of other things. Like, you can sit down and play a bland, boring Doom level for 5 minutes and at least, like, not want to immediately fall asleep. Like, it'll keep your attention for those 5 minutes. You won't remember anything about it, and you're just like, well, that was a bad level.
You surprised me, Thomas, but I've heard your head hit the desk more than on a number of occasions playing through certain map sets.
Well, yeah. I'm not the one playing them. You are. watching you play. Like,
I've watched you play through some stuff where you're just like practically ready to
head death.
Well, yes.
I can't believe I said that. Live on Tango TV.
But what he's saying there is something that I agree with.
If it was a bad, like, Duke 3D map set of the same quality, like, I wouldn't even have that much patience, is what I'm saying. Is that Doom...
I don't know about that. I think Duke 3D is even more inherently fun to play. I like its gameplay mechanics on its own a lot. That's subjective.
I think that more people are drawn to the bare, raw simplicity of Doom in its gameplay.
Right.
Well, I think another thing to say for Doom is that, this is a long time ago, but at one time Doom was probably like one of the, if not the most installed piece of software on like any computer.
Doom is still in the top 20 most sold games of all time.
Right. And so for a piece of software of that popularity, there are always going to be a healthy group of people dedicated to it for a long time afterward. I mean, I think it was more popular than, like, Windows at one time, you know? Like, so, I don't know. There's one thing to say for its longevity. It had a lot of fans. It was a household name for a long time.
I'm actually...
It's up there with Seinfeld.
Was that? Oh, Seinfeld.
As far as recognizable names, Doom was up there with Seinfeld.
Yeah.
In the 90s, I would say.
You made me recall Gross Point Blank for a moment there. I'm pretty sure there was an episode of ER in which someone was playing Doom, was I? Am I thinking
probably.
Something else? Probably.
Oh.
Yeah. There have been a few shows, yeah.
Yes, there have. But no, I agree with Favera, but that it has that popularity, but I think that popularity inherently stems from... You know, the fact that Doom is just, like, it's the right balance of simple and yet still complex and balanced and rounded enough to be fun.
Mm. Now, here's an interesting question. To what extent do we have to give credit for the name at this point for Doom's longevity? Because, I mean, there is still an extent to which it's upheld simply for it being Doom, you know, just the franchise name behind it, rather than perhaps the content that actually comes out of the community at the moment. Like, has the sort of hype behind the name died down by this point, 20 years on, that we can fully give credit to the community for its ability to survive longer? Or when the world forgets the name Doom, is the community going to die with it, do you think?
No, I don't think when the world forgets the name Doom. I think that the name Doom, though, is something that's going to go on for quite a long time. Because when you think of, you know, people who enter the community anew, they're usually coming back because they hear about Doom, they play Doom, and it's like, oh, well, this is a cool game, I'm going to go check out the community scene for it. But, like, if you tell somebody Doom, they think of, you know, the original Doom far more than they think of any modern versions of it.
Right. They'll picture in their head that game they played when they were... you know, 12, or something like that, that they haven't played since.
Game, you know, they heard their dad played, or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I guess
yeah.
Between the years,
I mean,
of, like,
no matter who you ask, I feel like no matter who I ask, invariably, they have heard of Doom. They've heard the word, they can picture it in their head in some form, and it's that
my auntie hasn't heard the word.
Pervasive. Well, how old is your auntie? 90? Oh. Okay, we'll find them. I'm sure she'll understand the concept. Of
I just wanted to prove you wrong. That was all. I wasn't trying to. Actually, no, I was stepping in.
Proof. Exactly. Proof by contradiction.
Mm.
But I think that anybody who's involved with video games, like my 12-year-old cousin who plays Black Ops all day long, knows what Doom is. Like, he knew what Doom was as soon as he started playing video games.
But does he give it respect? Does he respect it?
I don't think he respects it. I don't think he knows what any of Doom's gameplay is, but he knows what Doom is.
All right, fair enough. I mean, I guess from the years, like, 2003 to 2007 or 2008 or maybe even 2009, if someone mentions Doom, they would probably think of Doom 3 before anything else. I'm not sure the same can be said of Doom 4, unless that actually comes out at some point.
I'm surprised at how much Doom 4 actually gets mentioned. When I, like, say I'm, you know, I'm doing a Doom stream or whatever, I'll have my viewers come in, and a lot of times I'll be like, man, so what do you think about Doom 4? And I'll be like, well, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. But it's funny how often I hear it mentioned. I mean, it's usually mentioned when the topic of Doom is up. But the fact that it's mentioned at all, I think there's something to say about that there.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Doom is one of those things that, in the gaming community, you know, like, people will always know who the Wright brothers are.
Yeah.
Okay, there's certain things that, when you're the first in a certain area, like, you just automatically get that. You're just going to be known for the entire length of that community, and, you know, people will always know id and Doom. Even once id fails, people will know it. I think. I don't think that's something that's
Martyrdom.
Magically.
I don't think there's going to be. I don't think Doom's going to be martyred as soon as it dies. It will die an ungraceful and quiet death behind Bethesda's bars. That's.
Well, I mean, I tell you, they've they try to plug it here and there. Like, they've got this stupid little Doom plushie toy that I saw. I think they
Chibi.
I think that little Chibi. They had a Doom reference in Brink.
Yep.
Which didn't do very well. That game didn't do very well at all. But, you know, I mean, every once in a while. I mean, also, it's worth mentioning, this year is the 20th anniversary of Doom. And at QuakeCon, they had the 20th anniversary Doom tournament, which brought a lot of attention to it for just a second there. And another, I mean... We've got speed. Like, you guys did the speedrunning program B several weeks ago with mm-hmm. Dime, mm-hmm. and you've got folks like him and Garrison and Crank Dud and everyone in that channel who are you know, showing some sort of modern interest in Doom and bringing it to an audience that already knows what speedrunning is through popular streams like Cosmo and. Siglemic and all who do games that are old that they remember. Mm-hmm. Why can't Doom be one of those games eventually, you know? It's going to be, I think it might be going to ADDQ this year.
Yeah, Plutonia for ADDQ.
Plutonia is going to be there, which gets a lot of viewers. That marathon gets like an average 40 to 50,000 viewers. Throughout the whole thing. So, a lot of exposure. And I think that's just going to do more for mm-hmm. Doom's longevity.
Yeah, this is making me think, and I'm going to go out here on a limb and say that I have complete confidence in the fact that, Doom is a game. Speaking as the community, I don't think it will die out. Simply for the fact that I think it has cemented itself in the annals of gaming history sufficiently that no one will really forget it. It'll always get that noted. But that in combination with the fact that the rules of what makes a game fun to play, that's not going to change. Like, no matter how technically advanced, unless human nature somehow changes, and so that will dictate how, you know, how enjoying a game could be any different 10, 20 years down the line. That's not going to change, and so Doom, in all of its elemental fun and glory, that's not going to change either, how fun it is to play. So those two facts combined, to me, suggests that it's something that really can't die out.
With Doom, I look at Doom the same way I do, like, an old film. Like, everybody's always going to know what The Godfather is. A lot of people have never seen The Godfather, but they know what The Godfather is.
That's true.
You know, they know what Jaws... There's all these classic old films, like, everybody knows Citizen Kane. But mm-hmm. if you went up to random people on the street...
I haven't seen Citizen Kane.
You really never seen Citizen Kane?
No.
I think it's overrated, but that's neither here nor there. but there are certain things like Citizen Kane, if, using example of Doom, even if I hated Doom, I would still appreciate Doom. Like, I do Citizen Kane. I think Citizen Kane is overrated, but I can look at Citizen Kane as a film and acknowledge that it pioneered a lot of things. You know, these were technological advances in style and technique that, you know, are still used, and I can appreciate it on that level. And that's another reason why I don't think Doom is ever gonna fully die off, is that even if there's a community not making maps for it, I think that the appreciation of Doom for what it did for gaming will always be.
Yes, yes, that's interesting to note. Of course, I mean, not that you were saying this, but I think it is also worth noting that the fact that something in the game industry or the film industry, in fact, has pioneered something doesn't guarantee its success. It's completely because it was a commercial success, coupled with that fact. As to
absolutely.
It's known now. I guess another way of rephrasing the question that I put earlier is to ask the extent to which the Doom community must rely on modern the preferences of the modern gaming community in order to succeed. Because I'm guess I'm looking at things like Brutal Doom at the moment, which has proved perhaps you could say more successful outside the immediate Doom community than it has in the actual Doom community itself. I mean, clearly they're both successful in both regards, but you can detect the in Brutal Doom the sort of preference for modern sort of gameplay and design working its way into a mod like that. And would you say that the modern Doom community relies on sort of modern interpretations of how games should be played in order to succeed outside of the immediate community? The little capsule orbiting the Earth?
No, I would say because Back to Saturn X has gotten a lot of praise from people outside the Doom community.
That's right.
I know people who've played like stuff like Plutonia 2 and stuff like that. I think that, again, it's all about Doom's ability to offer options. You have the people who are going to like Brutal Doom. You have the people who don't like Brutal Doom. You have the people who are going to come back to Doom because they want to, you know, play something classic and vanilla. There's all these options available, and as the community continues to expand and form, you know, our, you know, each little clique has, you know, this is what we like, this is what we like, this is what we like. I think that's healthy, and I don't mind that there's a, you know, there's a Doom group of people that like things that I don't like. You know, the Slaughter Map people, they're doing their thing, and that's good because that's going to keep expanding and drawing in more people. There's always going to be somebody who, like, man, I want to play a game where 50 billion monsters attack me. Only there's Doom. I can play that. And there's a community providing to my interests. And as Doom has grown and we've created these little subgroups and they've continued to grow, I think that's why the community now is far more active than it would have been any time that wasn't, like, immediately right after Doom came out.
Right. And I think it's also
funny how the community is kind of sectioned off in its own little corners of the internet, too. I mean, like, you have the Russian community of Doomers, which is very eccentric, and then you have Z-Doom, and then you've got Doomworld, and then you've got Zandronum, and all of them seem to be kind of focused on their own little thing. You know, like, Doomworld is home to many of the just, like, core gameplay Doom lovers. And, I mean, there are people who would prefer Brutal Doom there, too.
Oh.
There's a lot of people who don't play Doom on Doomworld. They just kind of sit in the everything else for them. But, but then Z-Doom is a, I want to call it a wretched hive of scum and villainy, but I don't think that would be a nice thing to say.
Are you kidding? It's Tango TV. Frankly, I mean, I don't know if you checked out the contract before you appeared on the program, Pavera, but there's actually a clause that says that if you do not provide inflammatory material to Tango TV, then you will not be required for appearances. So you're going to have to go there.
In that case, community is it's where you go when you want furries in your Doom.
Actually, talking seriously about Z-Doom and how interesting it is, there's even within Z-Doom, you know, you have your weapon mod people, you have your full conversion people. I've often lamented because when I go to Z-Doom looking for, like, a map set to play, I don't get one. Instead, there's, like, just everything on the first page. It's all weapons mods.
I looked there recently, and one of the new releases, quote unquote, was just some, like, another one of those ghouls maps. You know, those ones where the thing chases you in the map and scares you to death. And it's just one little gas station, and there's a ghoul chasing you around, and that's it. And it's like, okay.
But
great.
Is it good? Any good?
No.
No?
It's just, well, it's Ghoul's Forest, but at a gas station. Like, it is.
Oh. That kind of sounds interesting, I'm not going to lie. But I'll.
But, so that's, you know, that's that community, and then you go to, you know, so I think Doom World is more of the catch-all, because there's a lot of community crossover that goes on in Doom.
Yes, that does make me think. also following on from what you said earlier, it's really important just that, thanks to diversity in Doom, just that whatever interest one person might have, whether it be for slaughter map preferences or for something like Brutal Doom, if they make their way over to any one of the hubs, the community hubs, most likely, or most preferably Doom World, simply because of its diversity and preference for pretty much anything. Once they get in, they can see what, you know, everything else that Doom World, so to speak, has to offer. And then they can move on their interests and develop with fads and move along.
Absolutely.
And in that respect, I guess it's kind of unfortunate that the communities like ZDoom and Xamarin don't really cross over one another in that respect. Because, I mean, someone who likes Brutal Doom might end up going to Xamarin, for example. And then, you know, the Xamarin forums are catered specifically to, I guess, Xamarin-oriented projects and the like, and they don't really show off the sort of vanilla side of things. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but there could be, you know, lost potential there. That person might also be interested in actually developing an understanding or getting involved in the sort of vanilla scene. You see what sort of I'm getting at there. It is the lack of a crossover like that is sort of unfortunate.
But I still think, like, as segregated as Doom is in certain aspects, I do think the community as a whole is pretty open to crossover. Like, I think the segregation is more people just do that to themselves.
Well, I almost see it as, like, as a testament to Doom's longevity and popularity of today. I mean, the fact that there are several Doom communities on the internet, I mean, shows that, you know, there are a lot of people still interested in it in some way, shape, and form, and that's cool to me. It is. It's very cool.
And, like, that's something that I really think of is unique to Doom, because, like, when I think, like, any other old game community I go to, I find, like, one site. That's, like, where everybody goes, that's the active community. And they don't even have the division that Doom has, and I think that speaks to Doom's longevity in a way more so, not just that it's there, but that because it's there, Doom has more of a chance to continue going, because if one community falls, like, New Doom died off, but, yes, you know,
they all migrated elsewhere.
Yeah, everybody just, once one dies, like, it's not the end of the Doom community. Like, would you have one site that's, like, the hub and everybody goes there? If that site dies, there's going to be, like, you know, something will come and take its place, but there's definitely going to be a diminished return. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Doom, it's something like if the ZDoom forums just imploded and everybody involved in ZDoom's upper management just died, like, all those people would still be involved in Doom. They just come over to, like, Doom World and just be like,
I would just like to point out that the second you said die, my Skype call cut out for about 3 seconds there. So I'm going to have to include another clause in the contract that says you cannot use that word for fear of Australian failure.
Australian failure. Yeah.
Thanks, Abbott. Political views here on Tango TV. Let's talk a little bit about...
I don't get it.
Neither do I, but I said it anyway, and someone out there might be inspired.
I'm not an Australian, so I don't follow their politics.
That's well, all right. moving on to, I guess, discussing hard now the future of Doom and Doom and making projections, I guess. Can you,
future.
Yes, predict the certain trends, for example, happening over the course of the next 5 years? I guess I'm talking with regards to specific fads at the moment, taking a look at the sort of resurgence, what we like to regard as a resurgence in 2011 and 12 for vanilla oriented megawads.
Was it really a resurgence, though? Because
there was a perceived resurgence. I mean, some people sort of noted that, a return of interest. I mean, do you think there was one?
No, I actually don't think there was one. If you, like, go back through the CAC Awards and look at them and all the really noteworthy releases that have occurred throughout the years, about every year, there's one or two really noteworthy, large-scale vanilla megawatt projects. I mean...
Oh, well, like, sure, but they're more likely to appear, like, way back when, aren't they, than they are? They will become more easier to use in modern day.
Right? Yes, but only because that people have, like, back then, that's all you could make.
Right.
But nowadays, there's, like, I would never say an interest, like, the people who would have been interested in vanilla mapping back then, like, actually wanted to, you know, map for vanilla and not just, God damn it, this vanilla limitation crap, I wish I could do this. You know, like, if you were to take everybody in that time period and drop them in today's modding tools, do you really think everybody would make a vanilla map?
No, not at all. I actually think you could take a look at several, like, 1990s map sets of vanilla, and you could see just through the use of design choices they make that if they had the tools available to them, they probably would have gone fight out Zedum.
Exactly. And so that's why I think that...
I should also mention, though, that the Cake Awards does attempt to create a cross-section they try to give awards out where plausible to more than just exclusively the award. Easy to, obviously, it's whatever's the best. But
whatever's the best is what you get. But I'm just saying that when you think of like noteworthy releases of the era, there's always a couple vanilla. Like it's never been like, oh, this is the year where vanilla finally died. We never reached that point where I don't think there can be a resurgence in something.
Okay. Do you observe trends then? I mean, can you think of any trends? I mean, I guess it's coming back.
I think if we want to talk about an actual resurgence, I think definitely thanks to Doom the way it did and Doom 2 the way it did, there has been a resurgence in classic
praise.
Style.
Yeah, giving yourself praise there, Thompson.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even involved at all in Doom the way it did.
You weren't in... No, you weren't.
Doom 2 the way it did.
I was involved in Doom 2 the way it did, but I'm just referring... Doom the way it did is what sparked it, and then Doom the way it did 2 is what continued it.
Okay.
Doom 2 the way it did. I think that definitely, though, there's been more people interested in making id-styled levels following those map sets.
That's true. We've seen a few. We noticed Favolesco, the author of Magic City, was taking Romero's design choices. I'm pretty sure that's done several times in the past, but yeah, there are several other map sets have gone down that route. I mean, but I have to ask you a third time, Tansman, do you observe any, can you project any trends, do you think, based on what you've seen over the last several years of the Doom community?
No, like, I don't think that when people talk about trends in the Doom community, like, things, I think just as people become more familiar and comfortable with new stuff, we're gonna see more of that come out. Like, Z-Doom's more popular than it was now versus back in the day, but that's only because, you know, Z-Doom has evolved to where you can make a Z-Doom map set pretty easily, and there's, you know, a lot of information to how to work with these tools. Mm-hmm. And that's why Vanilla was the big dog for a while, and then Boom. And I think that trend will continue, but I don't think that any one specific interest in Doom is going to suddenly dominate.
No, of course. It is a pretty flimsy question, I guess. I guess I'm asking because I guess we're satisfied with the fact that the game will continue to be to exist, the Doom community will continue to thrive. Just in what manner will it do so?
I think in the same manner as it has continued to do so. If only because when you see people who first enter the community, it's pretty clear from like the get-go what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have very few people who just magically develop an interest
in
something.
But the people who join the community won't necessarily have been keeping tabs, probably won't have been keeping tabs of what's gone on before. So they won't be, like, slotting themselves into a mold necessarily immediately. They could be interested in developing their own sort of way of playing the game, and particularly if they're coming from outside a much more rapidly changing, modern gaming community, like adopting their own sensibilities to create new experiences. I mean, could you see a perceived change in the community through that, having mentioned that, for example?
Yes and no again, because there's enough content that's already been established by the community that, like, when somebody comes in and they do their own thing, I can't think of really anybody who's come in... besides Huey Pham. Huey Pham came in and was like, here's Days Bolt. And it was like, okay. And that was, you know, I think that might have changed a few things, if only because, holy shit, that was like the first, you know, really, really grand. Like, there's a certain scale of Doom in that that I definitely think has, since Days Bolt came, has really taken off, and you've gotten things like Sunder and Winter's Fury are two of the ones that I think have taken that to the extreme in terms of just massive scale.
So, I mean, and are you kind of saying that Huey Pham, when he...
Velipax.
Yeah, Velipax.
When he committed when he committed to Dares Volter and submitted it to the Doom community. He sort of did so before he gave the community a chance to sort of direct him and how he should be mapping and that sort of thing. Because when we often look at these, here, this is my first map, I'm a new guy here, how you doing, folks? My name's Clive. They don't actually say that, but they should, because Clive's an awesome name.
Barker.
Clive Barker. Shut up and jam.
I'm dying.
Charles Barkley.
Those new threads that get created, looking for advice, it's almost like there's a certain cookie cutter, not response, but the responses that you get from the people who are giving advice, the design choices that have been honed by the Doom community over time.
Yes, I would absolutely agree with that. I think that, but it's even more than that. Like, anybody, when they're new to making maps, like, when you come in to a Doom mapping, the question we always ask on the actual interview portion of Tango TV is, who were your influences, right?
Yes, yeah.
A lot of people come into mapping and they say, I like that, I'm going to make more of that. Very few people come in and just, like, totally change the game. Like, I'm introducing this, and, like, there hasn't been any time for the community to kind of be like, well, this is the Doom community, and here's what you should do. And so, yeah, that purity is not very often seen. But even then, even in something like the first Dares Volter, which then inspired a new size of Doom mapping,
Dares Volter 1 is just a ripoff of Squares.wad.
It is.
True.
but there definitely was influence from that. But that influence, if you think of Doom as a sphere, that influence is a tiny little pimple on the outside of the Doom sphere. That's how much change was enacted by that. Because the fundamentals of the gameplay remained the same. The excessive monster usage had already been established. That was... as soon as people played Plutonia and got to it, that took off, got Hell Revealed, and that's just been growing over time until eventually developing into modern slaughter mapping and all that. So really, something that totally influenced, you know, new projects still didn't change that much.
Mm. And Vera, do you have any projections?
Oh, within the next few years here, we'll be seeing more of Doom 4. And I think that's going to, I don't think it's going to be as much as Doom 3, but I think it's going to attract a lot of people.
Right.
Just by nature of like, oh, Doom 4, there are websites that I can go to and talk about Doom 4. Oh, Doom World is one of them, and they'll go to it. And maybe we'll actually see some lip service in the Doom 4 general forum. Otherwise, honestly, I think, the Doom community is not going to wane in any way. I think it's going to keep treading along in the way it does. We see new members constantly taking an interest in creating their own type of content for Doom. Savage Corona is the first one that comes to mind.
Savage Corona. Sorry.
And also remember, as people involved in Doom, because... even though we're on the internet, we all can't be antisocial rejects who never do anything with their lives. They have kids, and they introduce their kids into Doom. You know, there's more new members.
Age of three, which
well, let's. Me. I mean, just take a look at currently, who are these like the high postings staple members of the community? Like, you have people like Obsidian. Who registered in 2012. He has 1,270 posts, and he does a lot of stuff. You've got Eris Falling, who is currently labeled Forum Staple. Another one registered just in 2012. That's a year ago. I mean, we're getting people in at a rapid rate who are quickly establishing somehow sort of name for themselves. And I don't really see any reason for that to go away. It's 20 years old, and it still happens this way. What's another 5 years or so? You know, I mean...
aside from the regular thread cropping up on the forums discussing this exact point, we are, you know, this isn't really something that we otherwise think about unless we decide to voice it in this sort of format, either here on Tango TV or on the forums, because otherwise, when we're going about our daily, weekly, whateverly... mapping process, we kind of treat the Doom community as though it will be around for so much longer that it's not even worth talking about. Like, at the moment, myself, you know, Tarnsman, various others, we're making sort of plans on what sort of map sets we'll be creating 1, 2, 3 years down the line, if we ever get to it. I mean, I guess we're sort of...
Oh, yeah, of course. But, like, the fact that we're actually planning that stuff, that means that other people are planning that stuff for themselves, too. I mean, you see new mappers coming in. Here's my first map. That maybe entails the... Or, you know, suggests that they're going to make more down the line.
Right.
And there are going to be people who want to play those. And plus, you also have to think, like, we've seen a resurgence in old head community members coming back.
That's true.
To, you know, check things out again. You know, you've got Joe Pillai has been around. You've got Adam Windsor, who's been around.
That's right.
Lately. You've got that...
he's been busy,
name?
By the way, Adam. Of course, we've had him on JXT. TV a few times, but yes.
Yeah, and the fact, I mean, honestly, as long as Ty Halderman decides to continue up, like, letting things be uploaded to id Games, I think Doom will... survive. It's like a cockroach, man. Like, it survives anything, you know?
I thought you said you were going to start on a pessimistic note and end up on an optimistic. No, you're likening us to cockroaches, man.
No. I mean that in like a, you know, it'll survive the apocalypse sort of way, man. Like, the world will explode, the Doom community will still be there.
Yeah, but if
really,
you cut off a chicken's head, it'll still keep running around. Like, can't we be chickens instead of cockroaches?
I think
chicken dies.
The apocalypse. See, here's the really important part also, and we haven't really touched on this. Is Pavera mentions the apocalypse, and I think that's an, you know, because Doom can be played on pretty much anything at this point.
Okay. Yeah, you can. I played it on my a calculator one time.
Okay. Yeah, you can play Doom on a calculator. That's another thing that will help it stay, you know, alive, is the fact that Doom is just going to be the game that you could want to play Doom on a calculator. I can play Doom on a calculator.
So I've just envisioned a Doom engine that plays a Doom source port that plays on the inside of a top hat. And if somebody could please make that, then I will eat.
Would love them forever. But, you know, and I think we also need to look at not first-person shooters, but other games that are older than Doom that still have very active communities.
Yes.
The Mario community is still active.
That's robust.
That's a...
Super Mario World. I mean, apparently it's kind of goofy, but hey, keeps going.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of unique in that there are titles being churned out with Mario in it all the time, as opposed to Doom, which has had one. And soon to be 2 coming out, so I guess.
Well, that's I mean you can chalk that up to the fact that id Software is known for every iteration of its game being on a completely new engine, which is going to take some time to develop because they're like the the forerunner. Well, they were like the guys creating new graphics technology.
Oh, yeah, and everybody's always interested in the new stuff that id's going to put out, if only because id is synonymous with, you know, we're just going to, you know, here's our new game, and yeah, it's a tech demo, whatever, it doesn't matter, it's cool. And everybody will, like, admire it technically, even if they don't really like it much as a game. And so id definitely has that going for it, but I think, no, with Mario, yeah, new games are coming out, but it's still the old ones, like... You know, people always praise things like, you know, Mario 64, but there's not a Mario 64 community, there's a Super Mario World community, and, you know, Pokemon has a massive, I was actually really surprised to find that out, there's a massive user-created content community for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That doesn't surprise me. And actually, it's like I sort of half said when we were discussing, like, how the name Doom changes with the onset of Doom 3 and Doom 4, you know, for a time, it means to refer to the modern one, but after a while, it invariably just goes back to the initial, right? I guess in Doom's case, it's Doom 2 rather than Doom. Actually, no, not necessarily. It's probably. They're equal standing. But that seems to be the case for most titles. Like, with Mario, you know, if the title stopped coming out at some point, which may happen, I don't know.
Nintendo would have to die for that to happen.
Probably, yeah. Then Mario would almost, I would bank money on referring back to the first ones. To Super Mario.
Well, no, even today, like, if you say Mario, everybody thinks of the original Mario before they even remotely think of, you know...
I guess true. I'm thinking as a rule, I guess, from maybe talking about any sort of franchise like that. Because, you know, Mario has so many titles coming out all the time, it's like, they don't really mean much. It's always going to remain the first one. Yeah. It's not something like Doom that's sort of really infrequent. Then it's a big discussion point when something new comes out. So let's start talking about the most recent one and then refer back to the original. But yeah. I would say that's a good parallel, good comparison to otherwise outside of the name.
And then one other thing, like, as wrapping this up, something I'd like to touch on that also, like with Doom, one of the things that will keep it going that we haven't mentioned is that with modern gaming, everything's very homogenized. There's not much distinguishing each game from itself. So that's one of the reasons I think that older games have more longevity in terms of getting not just the ease to pump out new content and all that, because there are games with no new content that people still have, you know, fan bases for, and people are still playing them. But when it comes to something like Doom, I think the fact that it does distinguish itself as a game, even though it is, you know, go here, shoot things, push buttons. There is something about Doom that feels unique when compared to other titles.
Sure. Pavera, do you have any closing statements before we wrap this episode up like a burrito?
No.
That is.
I don't really. I feel like we've kind of covered it. Like, I don't see Doom really going anywhere anytime soon. Like, the fact that it's lasted for this long to get to its 20th anniversary and still be seeing the volume of content that it does, for years, people saying, like, well, this is probably the last year we'll be seeing great stuff like this, and then being surprised at the CAC Awards every year. I don't see why it would stop. And plus, let's toot our horns a little bit here. You guys got a dedicated, like, podcast radio program for the Doom community. I mean, the fact that we have such an organized, like, format for discussing these topics at all means something.
Well,
people are listening to them.
In any sensible podcast would probably cease further production once they realize that no one was listening to it. But, you know, we just don't take a clue.
No one's listening.
So you don't envision any proverbial boot to crush this cockroach anytime soon, then, Pavera?
No,
cockroaches can survive anything. And
if Pavera does mention that, you know, this is going to be the last year, go back to the top 100 WADs of all time that I believe Saib and Ling put together for the 10th anniversary or whatever it was.
Back
in 03. In there is the Alien Vendetta entry, which calls it the last great vanilla megawad.
2003. It was 10 years ago.
Yep. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of my grandfather, who's currently 9 years of age, and he was complaining and saying he was on his deathbed when he was 70. For God's sake, Grandpa, just shut up. You're going to stick around. It's pissing me off, honestly. You're way too healthy to be having that sort of discussion.
Right. I mean, Doom is a healthy 70-something-year-old man who's got at least 15 years left in him, as far as I'm concerned. And 15 years later, I'll probably have some sort of great job, and I won't have to care about Doom anymore.
15 years.
And then by then, it can be dead, and I don't have to care. So there you go.
I have a great job, and
I thought you said we were going to end on an optimist. I guess that does sort of count.
Sure, why not?
Program
BF. Pavera will be a happy, successful human being in the next 15 years, and that's a good
even
thing.
Even longer.
It will be bigger.
It will be even longer, yes. So what's coming up new for Tango TV? Eventually Natural 20 is going to get interviewed, right?
Okay. Yeah, right, guys? Yeah, I don't think we're going to be shooting for the Mord Afterward anytime soon.
I like that guy. I like the way he thinks when he maps, because he just goes and he's like, I'm just going to do something crazy. I don't give a hoot. Whether
to this episode of Program B, then the interview with Rock King has already been released, and you should go listen to that if you haven't already. That was released on the 15th of this month, September. Also coming up, also probably already released as well, is the Where's All the Data review of Doctor Sinex and Fable. Let's go, so check that out, and stay tuned for the Kama Sutra review, which will come, hopefully, although not traditionally, at the beginning of the next month. So this has been Tango TV, episode 14, Discussion of Longevity with Tarnsman, co-host, and Pavera. Join us next fortnight for more Talkback Radio.